Amen. You love the Lord tonight? Amen. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. He's been good to us, hasn't he? Amen and amen. Well, I'm happy to announce that yesterday I got the keys to our new home. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the address, for those of you that don't know, it's 1221 Silver Street, New Albany. And we're just renting it until the closing of the loan goes through. But we do have access to it. We're going to start moving in there tomorrow. And we'll be having service there on Sunday morning. And then moving forward, hopefully we'll just have service there till the Lord comes. Amen. Unless we expand and grow and have to build a bigger place or whatever it is. But amen. I'm tired of moving. I don't know about you. The church that's there, while we're having the rental period, they are going to have morning services there. So we're going to have to move our services back on Sunday a little bit. We'll be having Sunday school at 11:30 instead of 10:30, and we'll be having our regular service at noon and our Sunday evening service at 7:30 because we're pushing that back to try to give it a little bit of the same amount of room in between services. We'll try to keep the Sunday evening services as short as possible unless the Holy Spirit's just moving, and then I'm not responsible. So some of you that like to sleep in a little later or want to eat your lunch early, you'll enjoy that while it's temporary, but that's not going to be something that's permanent. But during the rental period, we will be having the services on that schedule. If you forget or can't remember, didn't get a chance to write it down, that is on the website, that information. After service tonight, if some of the brothers can help us with breaking down the chairs and the PA equipment, things like that, we're going to try to move as much as we can tomorrow night because we have to be out of here by Friday night. And if some of you brothers have ability to help tomorrow evening, then just get with Brother Stephen or Brother Jimmy, and they'll be able to coordinate with you helping in that regard. And so we're just really, really blessed to know that. Also, we've got a few testimonies that we want to share. Sister Cheryl Cody, she wanted to testify that she came up for prayer on Sunday and that the Lord has healed her and she's doing great. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. And we had prayed for Brother Ervil McKimmy. He had had a heart attack and an infection in the brain, and the doctors weren't giving him much hope, but they found out that his condition is not terminal, and he's already off his pain medication and antibiotic and just needs prayer for continued recovery. So praise the Lord for that. Also, me and Brother Jimmy just had to praise the Lord a little bit on the phone when he called me about this yesterday, but Sister Patty, she came up for prayer on Saturday, I believe it was Saturday evening when Brother Donnie was here for the special meetings, and as most of you know, Satan's really been trying to battle her with her kidneys, and she's been on dialysis for some time and has been looking for a kidney donor, but she went back to the doctor for some more tests, and they told her Tuesday she can go completely off of dialysis. So praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. He's still Hebrews 13 and 8. Amen. And so if Sister Patty shouts a little bit tonight, you just stay out of her way. She's got a right to shout. Amen. God is good. Also wanted to announce, and you know, we it's difficult after encouraging testimonies and announcements like that to make this announcement, but as most of you know, little Liliana Williams went to be with the Lord on Sunday, and that they're having a viewing on Thursday from 5 to 8, and then also from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. on Friday, and then the funeral will be at 1:30 on Friday, and that's going to be at Newcomers Funeral Home in New Albany, Indiana. So if you can make that, come out and so show support to the family and pay your respects during this time, I'm sure they would appreciate that. If you don't know where that's at, it's off of Grantline Road behind, right across the street from where our storefront church was, back there behind El Nopal and all of that. So if you need directions or the address, you can get with us after service and we can get you that. I didn't get a chance to write it down. But just be remembering the family in prayer during this time. I know that'll be difficult, and we just want to continue to lift them up in prayer. But we know she's in a better place. She's not in pain, not suffering, not going to have to go through life crippled or anything like that. So God knows what he's doing, but we just want to continue to lift them up in prayer. Also, Sister Lisa Cooley not feeling well, and Naomi Johnson still not feeling well. Sister Buckles is back in the hospital again, and they're pretty concerned about her, so I want to remember her in prayer. Also, we have an unspoken prayer request for Brother Joel. And then Brother Isaac Weber and his family are going to be traveling to Arizona for a couple weeks. I think they're leaving on Sunday. And we want to remember them in prayer for traveling mercies. Brother Andrew Corsell's with us this evening. I'm going to ask him if he'd come and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests. And I believe he has a special after that. So, amen. I'm thankful we have a God that we can take these needs to. Bless you, brother. Good to have you with
me. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, how we thank you, Lord, that in a world that's falling apart, we've got a refuge to come back to every time. We've got a rock, a solid rock we can plant our feet. And no matter what winds of life might come, Lord, it'll hold the test of time. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and taking care of us and being the only provision we have left in this world. Father, we pray as we come to the house of God tonight that our hearts would be open, our minds pure and clean to receive your word. And may we just receive it with all that's in us, Lord, and may it mold Christ in every heart that's here. We have these requests, Lord, and we lift each one up to you. You know the needs. You know the needs on the people's heart that's here. And I believe that you're still Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You saw a little widow woman walking, and you had comfort on her, and you went and raised her son up from the dead. just a comforter, Lord. Would you come here tonight and just raise up our faith, Lord, to be comforted by your presence today. We believe it, Lord. We trust it all to you. May you have your way in this service. Meet every need. Speak through our brother, we pray. Have your way tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be a Christian, brother, sister. Amen. And just real quick here, I thought of this. My dad, when we started the church in Ohio, said, let's have service at noon. I said, you sure about that? That sounds kind of late. Sorry, brother, sister, I'm sold. I love it. I love it. So you say temporary, but you better be praying, brother. No, that's all right. You do what the Lord has for you, but it's good. It's good to have a God that knows us and cares for us. You know, and some of us that's come from out in the world are denomination and things. Isn't it glad that God gave us a voice of a real revelation? Amen. To know this God in a personal way that I don't have to guess if I know him. I've met him face to face. And he truly is the same yesterday and forever. So I'm going to try to keep my composure. Y'all, if you know this chorus, you can sing it with me when I get there. Much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. But he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I made, every tear that I've cried. And he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life. But I know in whom I have believed, and he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I've cried. And he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Yes, he knows my name. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name.
Amen. Aren't you thankful tonight that he knows your name?
Amen.
Amen. I believe the Pierce sisters have a special for us tonight. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Amen. To know that He hears our every prayer. Amen. Oh, I know somewhere
when this life is over, oh, I'll fly away. I'm going to my home on God's special shore. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, Lord, I'll fly away. Oh, when I die, hallelujah, by and by. Fly away, just like a bird from these prison bars has flown. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. Oh, when I die, hallelujah. By and by, oh, I'll fly away. Oh, there's just a few more weary days, and then I know I'll fly away. I'm going to a land where my joy shall never end. Oh, I'll fly away. Let's stand and sing it. Oh, I'll fly away, oh, glory, fly away. Oh, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, oh, I'll fly away. Oh, yes, there's just a few more weary days, man, I know I'll fly away to a land where my joy shall never end. I know I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory. Yes, I'll fly away. Oh, when I die, hallelujah. By and by, oh, I'll fly away. And some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. He's coming after you and me. Joy is our share. Oh, what rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise. Oh, headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Oh, it seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead. They're rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. Oh, in the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be. Oh, all the living saints will fly to that jubilee. And oh, what glory. Oh, on that happy morning when we all shall. Then when with all the heavenly hosts we begin to sing, we'll be singing in the Holy Ghost how the heavens will ring. Oh, millions there will join that song. With Him we shall be just praising Christ the name. It's heaven's jubilee, and oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall laugh. Oh, what glory, oh, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, oh, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Oh, it seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead. They're rising for this jubilee that is just ahead. Oh, in the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be all the living saints to fly to that jubilee. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, oh, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. When with all the heavenly hosts we begin to sing, oh, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be, just praising Christ with ages long, it's heaven's jubilee. And oh, what singing, oh, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, oh, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky.
Hallelujah. Amen. How many's looking forward to it? Amen. Amen. How many's going?
Amen.
Amen. How many's ready?
Amen.
Amen. Why don't we just go tonight?
Amen.
Amen. That'd be fine with me. Amen. God bless you. Well, we keep feeling the presence of the Lord like that. One of these days, we might just go on out of here. Amen. God bless you. Good to be in service again together. Oh, my. I believe Brother Bram said when he was over there, and he said, will Paul be tried for what he taught? They said, yes. And he said, well, I taught the same thing Paul taught.
Right.
And he said, millions. Wasn't just our four and no more. But millions of voices cried out, we're resting on it. Amen. I believe I was one of those voices over there. You say, well, how could you have been over there when you wasn't even born yet? Well, Brother Brandon was over there and his body was still laying back on the bed. So he must have been in a different body over there somewhere. I've got an eternal one waiting for me in the heavens. Amen. And I believe you came to have church tonight, it sounds like. Brother Bram said that, oh my, when you recognized that this you was eating on was eagle's food, he said you heard from your theophany. So if I heard from my theophany, I must have one over there waiting for me. Amen. God bless you tonight. We want to pick up again on this thought of speak the word. And let me tell you, as a pastor, it is hard to know what's coming ahead the next few weeks and try to hold it back and not get ahead of yourself, because this series, the more I study on it, the bigger and bigger and more unfolds, and it just, we're looking forward to a good time in the Lord. If he tarries, if he doesn't tarry, you'll know what it was going to be out anyhow when we get over there. He said, we know all things. Amen. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 2. And we want to start to look at Abraham, and I've just been pulling some things out of the message in the Bible on Abraham that's just been getting me excited this week, and knowing I didn't have enough time to get it all in this week, we'll have to pick it up the next two or three weeks, and just looking for a good time in the Lord. Genesis chapter 15, verse 2, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
Amen.
Now, I want you to notice, this was an old man, 75 years old. He's never had a child. His wife is barren. The doctor says there's no chance. Science says there's no chance. His own body is telling him there's no chance. But yet God speaks the word and said, look out here, Abraham, at all these stars. Can you count them? He said, no, sir, I sure can't. And he said, that's how your seed's going to be. Absolutely scientifically impossible for it to be. But God did it anyhow because he spoke the word. And when God speaks the word, something's going to take place. Whether even Paul said, what if some didn't believe? He said, that won't hinder God. Unbelief doesn't hinder God. It might hinder you, but it won't hinder God's program. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we begin to look into your word, Lord, how it thrills our hearts. As we feel your presence here tonight, Lord, and oh, how we need encouragement sometimes. And when you come by and you visit us, how it encourages our hearts to know that you're with us and that you're leading and guiding and that your presence is there to comfort us, Lord. Where would we be without you, Father? I don't know what we would do or where we would turn. As Peter said, to whom would we go? But I'm so thankful that we have a place that we can go. Not just a building, Father, or not just a group of people, although we appreciate the building you've given us and the people that are congregated. But when we can go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, oh, Father, how that you provide comfort in a time when it seems like there can't be comfort. How you provide peace in times when it seems like there can't be peace. You're a present help, Lord, in times of trouble. And how it just thrills our hearts to be serving you tonight. We love you, Father, and we know that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we have need of. Lord, we commit this service to your hands tonight. Lord, may you be with every aspect of it. Thank you for every song that's been sang, every word that's been spoken. Lord, may you be with the continuation, every word and song that's sang, everything that's done. May it be pleasing to you, Father. Lord, may you just come and visit us tonight in a way that only you can. Lord, we want to praise you tonight, Lord, for what you've been doing for us, Lord. And Lord, to hear about the healing of Sister Patty, Lord, how we thank you. What a mighty God that you are, Father. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. Lord, the healings that we've heard about, the testimonies of how you've been moving with the building situation. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you do. You're such a good God. Oh, Father, how we love you. Lord, even times when maybe we don't understand everything, we still love you, and we know that you have our best interests in mind, that you know all about it, that you knew before the foundation of the world what we would have need of. And, Lord, that you look down the road and see what's best. Oh, Father, we're so thankful to be serving a God, Lord, that not only hears but answers prayers. Lord, be with us tonight, we pray. Lord, we're just looking for a good time in the Spirit tonight. We come expecting, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Somebody had asked a friend of ours recently if they were expecting, and they said, no, they weren't. And I said, I kind of looked down at my stomach, and I said, well, I am. I said, I come expecting every service. So I hope you're expecting tonight. Amen. Started off this morning good, and I hope the brothers don't mind me sharing it. I shared it with them, and woke up this morning, and the very last thing that happened before I woke up, I had a dream. And in the dream, Brother Layton and Brother Yarbrough and I was riding horses out in what was supposed to be out at Sunset Mountain, but it actually looked more like Colorado, big, majestic white mountains and things. And we'd been riding, and then there were certain spots where we'd have to get off and climb or walk because the path was so narrow. And I'm not very big on heights, so even in the dream, Brother Stephen, I was a little bit nervous. And we got to this one spot, and Brother Layton had went around to get some water from the horses, and me and Brother Yarbrough were sitting on the edge of a cliff here in the dream. And I told him, I said, Brother Yarbrough, I know I'll never have the gift like Brother Branham had. I said, but to be here where those angels met him, I said, it feels like that presence that they're still here. And about that time, he turned and he looked at me and he said, I believe he is still here. The presence of the Lord is still here, the angel of the Lord. And I looked in the dream, and just past him, there was a man standing in white. And Brother Branham said when that angel of the Lord came, he said it would scare him. You know, even he said no matter how many times he came, it scared me so bad I jumped back in the dream. And I said, look there. And I pointed and he turned and he looked and saw it as well. And about that time, Brother Layton was coming around the side of the mountain there. And I woke up to that and I thought, well, it's going to be a good day. Amen. So I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I don't know what it means, but it made me feel good. Amen. Just to know that we believe that the angels of God still encamp around those that follow God and that fear him. And we don't fear him in the way that you would be afraid of him, but we fear him in a respectful way that we don't want to do anything to displease him. Abraham had been told here at a ripe old age that he was going to have a child, and it seemed impossible. No doubt the doctors laughed at him. No doubt his neighbors made fun of him. But yet he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, many times when something in the supernatural realm happens, if we're not careful, we'll begin to try to intellectually understand it and process it, and many run off on the deep end, even with the message and things, because they sit down and they try to figure it all out, and they chart it out and diagram it out, and it gets so much into the intellectual side that Brother Bram said, if you can explain everything, you don't have to have faith. But I may not be able to explain everything to you tonight, but I can tell you that I believe. Amen. Amen. I can't explain to you the scientific ideologies behind how that whale swallowed Jonah and he survived for 3 days and 3 nights down in the belly of the whale at the bottom of the sea. I can't explain that to you scientifically, but I believe it tonight. Amen. And so there are things that we can't explain, you know, and there's other things that sometimes we just have to take by faith. And when this was said to Abraham, he couldn't explain it. He couldn't explain the dynamics. He couldn't go down to the medical doctors and say, look, you've got these chemicals in your lab, and what God's going to do, he's going to take these chemicals, and he's going to give us a shot, and it's going to begin to change the chemical makeup of our bodies, and he would begin to try to explain it to him. Abraham didn't have no more idea how to explain it than many times we do, but yet he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, if he had sat down and tried to figure it all out, he would have gotten trouble. And actually, Sarah, that's what she does. As we look at the scripture here in chapter 16, verse 2, it says, Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Now, she had sat down and began to look at the message and said, well, Abraham's going to be the father of many nations, but there wasn't anything really said about me in that specific prophecy, so I'm going to sit down and figure this out intellectually, and oh, it must be that it's going to come through Hagar, and I'll give Abram permission to go in into Hagar, and that'll be the way that these children will be produced. And she goes out about it with an intellectual conception of what she thought God wanted instead of just waiting on God to fulfill what he had in mind. Many times if we're not careful, we get ahead of God and we think, well, I think it should be this way and I think it should be that way and God must want me to do this and I think it'd be best to do it this way. But if we get ahead of God's program, we just cause ourselves problems every time. Amen. God's program will keep moving on, but many times we'll have to suffer things because we get ahead of God's program instead of waiting on God's time. Genesis chapter 16, verse 15, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael, and Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. 86 years old, and he has this child. And now this child who came Sarah's way instead of God's way, they're still fighting over in the Middle East because of this decision that she made. But yet, even in Sarah's humanity and in her intellectual conception, yet even though it wasn't God's perfect will, yet it's still fulfilling a part of the prophecy that Abraham's going to become the father of many nations and many kings. And also God says a little bit later, we'll look at it, that Sarah will be the same thing. Even through her mistake and even through her way of doing things and bypassing God's way, yet God in his permissive will, he's bringing this around still to fulfill his word. Many times things that we do, decisions that you make, you may have to pay, you may have to have consequences, you may have to go through all kinds of trials, but God's not going to let that contradict his vision for your life. He's still going to work it around, and even your mistakes, he'll make them testify to what his finished work is for you. But he may have to take you way out around the path somewhere and bring you in another way because of your mistakes. When Israel was wandering around the desert for 40 years, they could have been a lot faster if they had stopped complaining and trying to argue with the prophet, and they would have just went on in and did what God's plan was for them. They could have got there a lot earlier, but God still got those that were predestinated there regardless. Regardless of what they did, you can't change your predestination. You can't lose your election. If you're his, you was his before the foundation of the world. Amen. Now, our mistakes and our stupidity can take us around the long way, and we can go through a lot of trials and things that maybe we wouldn't have had to if we would have just stayed on the right path. But you're not going to change God's program. Adam and Eve here, they fell into sin and cast the whole world into death and sickness and all kinds of things because of their mistake, but it didn't change the plan of God.
Amen.
In fact, even though it was his permissive will, it was working right into the perfect plan of God. So Abram here at 86 years old, he has this son. And then in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. 99 years old, and God says, I'm going to multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations I have made thee. Now he gives him a name change because he's not just going to be Abram anymore, but he's going to be the father of many nations. And Brother Bram says it this way, he took his name Elohim and he adds a portion of his name into Abraham's name and makes it Abraham. Brother Bram said there hasn't been a messenger since then. He says it many times. He said Abraham, ending in H-A-M, there hadn't been another messenger to Billy Graham. He said, of course, we know that's six letters, G-R-A-H-A-M. But anybody, you know, with grade school education can figure out if you take Branham, B-R-A-N-H-A-M is seven letters, and that God had sent a messenger with that same type of ministry in this day, that just as Elohim could turn his back to the tent and say, why did Sarah laugh, that there would be a messenger in this age that could turn his back to the audience and say, this one over here has tuberculosis and that one over there has cancer, and it would be the same sign that was sent to them, but it would be sent to a Gentile bride to get her attention. Now, it wasn't the signs that changed us. It was the voice that changed us. But there had to be a sign behind the voice to get our attention. When Moses walked down there, we'll get into that in a few weeks, Lord willing, but I'll get ahead of myself a little bit. When he walked down there and he put his hand in his bosom and he brought it out and it was white as leprosy, and he showed the Israelite children, look, you see this hand that's white with leprosy? And no doubt they were afraid and in shock and fell back. And he puts it back in his bosom again. And he draws it back out. And it's just as clean and pure and just like a baby's skin. And they looked in amazement. He didn't have to go and do that to 2 million Israelites and say, line up, let me show each and every one of you. But once they saw that, there was something about it that they went through the camp and said, did you hear what took place today? Oh my, there was a man in camp today. He walked down to Pharaoh's army and he walked right up to the throne and he threw down his staff and it became a snake. And then Pharaoh's soothsayers, they tried to impersonate the voice, or not the voice, but the sign rather, and they threw down their sticks too, but there was something about it that Moses' stick ate up those sticks, and then when he went over and picked it up, there was one staff. Now I don't know where their other staffs went, but I know they weren't there anymore. And they were shepherds without a staff, walking around like a lot of these today, blind leading the blind.
That's right. Amen.
But what did Jesus say? Let them alone. Right. If the blind leads the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. But here goes Moses and he lays this down. No doubt word begins to go through the camp. There was a sign in Pharaoh's kingdom today There was a sign out here and they recognized it and they began to follow this message, but it wasn't the sign that changed them. It was the voice behind the sign that changed them. They had, you know, they have a website even today. They need to change the title of it. Believe the sign. They don't believe the sign anymore. But many focus so much on the signs, trying to prove the sign right or trying to prove the sign wrong, they missed the point of the message. It wasn't the sign, it was the voice behind the sign.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the signs. I'm thankful for the cloud. I'm thankful for the bridge. I'm thankful for the first anymore. It's the voice that was behind those signs. Those things were to get the attention of the bride so we could recognize that God was doing something. But what's changing the brides, he said it was those seven thunders that was revealed under the seven seals that literally would change our hearts back to the Pentecostal fathers.
Amen.
That's what he said in the church age book. He said there's two reasons why Malachi 4 is sent back. He said one is to restore their hearts back, and one is to reveal those seven thunders that are mysteriously hid under the seventh seal there. He said it was those things that would literally change our hearts back. The revelation of the word again in this day, that a man could come and begin to teach a serpent seed and the Godhead and the right kind of baptism and how to live and how to act and do all these things. And it wasn't some renegade or some Jim Jones cult, but it was right back to the original word again. And that's what changed us. And it's still changing us. And one day it's going to change us a step further, and it'll change our very bodies. I believe rapturing faith is still laying in her tonight, just like he said. So this messenger comes, and he begins to reveal himself to Abram. And he says, your name isn't going to be Abram anymore, but I'm going to change your name to be like my name. I'm going to make it Abraham. And in Genesis 17, verse 15, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, shall her name be rather. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Now, if she would have just waited on the vision, she could have recognized that she was part of the vision. But because she began to get ahead of the vision, she began to try to go through a substitute. Many today, they still want to use a substitute. And they'll substitute their pastor, or they'll substitute some anointed man of God, or they'll substitute some spiritual person in their family instead of the Holy Ghost. But there is no substitute for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I don't need a substitute. I need more of him. Hey man, I don't need a substitute. I don't need a mediator between me and God. There's one mediator, and that's Christ Jesus. So I hope tonight that you aren't looking for me to be your mediator or your Holy Ghost. If so, you're missing out on so much that God has for you.
Right.
Brother Branham said, why would we accept a substitute when the Pentecostal skies are full of the real thing?
Amen.
And Sarah had tried to inject a substitute to say, well, I don't feel like I'm part of the vision, so I'm going to just use Hagar here as a substitute for my husband to bring this promised son. But the promised son couldn't come through a substitute. The promised son had to come through the channel that God had predestinated it to be. And she just didn't wait long enough to recognize that she was a part of the vision. Oh, remember when Brother Branham said that he went down there to pray for the little girl there in South Boston. And he said he got up there on top of the hill and he stopped at the church there, and the angel had told him about a tombstone. And he said when he looked at the tombstone there and the dates and everything just the way that it was in the vision, he said he began to drive down the road a little further, and that there was supposed to be a man with a yellow corduroy hat come out of a store there. And he said he saw the man come out of the store and he asked him if he knew where this little girl lived. And he said the man began to cry there. He said he didn't realize it, but he was part of the vision. You may not realize it tonight, but as the bride of Jesus Christ, you're part of the vision.
Amen.
There's something for you to do. Oh, you say, I'm just a housewife. He said every one of you has a ministry, even to the housewife. There's something for you to do. You're part of the vision. If God called you to be a part of his bride, Brother Andrew sang it earlier tonight, he knew my name.
Amen.
And we'll look at it. I don't know if we'll get to it tonight or not. But when God begins to speak to Abraham about Isaac, he calls his name and he says, Isaac will be his name. Here he is, a spoken word child. God speaks forth and proclaims not only that the child will be there, but what his name will be. But I hope you can recognize tonight, a prophet may not have came and said, there'll be a James Ard, or there'll be a Lee Pierce, or there'll be this one or that one. But he knew your name before the foundation of the world. Amen. And he called your name. And he knew you would be here. He knew what your name would be, what your address would be. It's wonderful, the ones down through history that God spoke and said, you'll call his name this and you'll call his name that. He spoke of Jesus. He spoke of John. He spoke of even Brother Joseph, what his name would be before he was born. But he may not have spoke my name through a prophet's lips, but he knew my name. Amen. And if he knew my name, then I was a part, not just me, but every one of you here tonight. If he knew your name before the foundation of the world, then you have a part in the vision as well. Oh my, many times we hear of the faith of Abraham, but Sarah was a part of the vision as well. I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yes, yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Now, many times we hear about Sarah doing this, but a lot of times we rewrite over Abraham doing it. But Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall she be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Now, he's listened to his wife and her way of doing things, and she said, oh my, we're going to use a substitute, and it's going to be Hagar, and it's going to be her son. That's going to be the promised son. But that was never the son that God had promised. You may have substituted all kinds of different things for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you thought if you read enough books or listened to enough tapes, or if you shook the pastor's hand enough times, or if you attended church regularly enough, that would be it. But that's just substitutes, friends. All those things are wonderful. I appreciate you shaking my hand. I appreciate you attending regularly. I appreciate you paying your tithes and listening to tapes and reading the books. That's all a part of it. But if we miss the main thing, then what's the point of it all? Don't substitute all these man-made works and ideas, and no matter how holy and self-righteous you try to live, if you miss the birth, then you've missed the entire picture. Oh my, but it's the birth that makes it a reality. No matter how much they could dress Ishmael up and make him look nice and take him to church with them and pat him on the back and call him a promised son, he was not the promised son. But there was a promised son that was coming.
Amen.
Oh my. Chapter 17, verse 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Again, Genesis 17, 21. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. Now he speaks this. Now he's not only saying he's going to have a child, but the vision is progressing. I know people have a hard time with that around the message when Brother Branham would come back and tell more. But here, God himself, Elohim, he comes, and this is just coming fresh tonight, Brother Hoover, so you just bear with me. But he comes and he tells Abraham, he said, you're going to have a child. He didn't say what his name was going to be. Didn't say what wife was going to have him. Didn't say what his birth date was going to be. Didn't say his name, didn't say any of that. But then he comes back a little later and he says, it's going to be Sarah that's going to have the child. Abraham's already tried to figure it out and try to work himself into the vision. And Sarah's given him a wife, and he's had a child through Hagar. And he comes back and says, it's not going to be Hagar. It's not going to be Ishmael. It's going to be Sarah that's going to have the child. A little bit more of the vision unfolds.
Amen.
Now he comes and he tells him, the child's name is going to be Isaac. Oh, now a little bit more of the vision unfolds.
All right.
And then he comes to him and he tells him about this set time next year. And then he comes back to him again, as we'll look at it in a minute, and he says about the time of life. She's going to be pregnant and have a child. 9 months from now, she's going to have this child. He begins to narrow it down and pinpoint it more and more and more. But yet when Brother Branham comes around and has a vision, and then as part of the vision is revealed, he's able to tell us a little bit more about it. People want to call him a false prophet. Well, you better not believe Elohim's word then, because he came and did the same thing to Abraham.
Amen.
Oh my, they can put that in their website and smoke it. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. Now he's beginning very specific. And I want you to remember this, because we'll look into this more next week, that he keeps being very specific that the covenant, he's establishing it with Isaac. Genesis 18 verse 1, and the Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, there three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." Now, Brother Branham, I don't know if you caught it or not, but Sunday night when we were listening to This Day the Scriptures Fulfilled in 1965 there in Arizona, he begins to break into this story a little bit, and he said, Abraham said, "My Lord." And he said, but Lot looked and he said, "My Lords." He saw three and he said, "Lords," plural. Abraham saw three and he said, "My Lord," singular. He said, what was it? He said, it was lack of revelation on Lot's part. But he said, God didn't just throw Lot away and say he was lost. He said, but it took 100 Lots to make one Abraham because of lack of revelation. Oh, may God give revelation tonight. Many of them still today going about saying it's my Lord's, but it was never Lord's plural. It was Lord's singular. It's never been more than one person, but it's been multiple attributes of the same person. Oh, he's the lily of the valley, the bright morning star, the rose of Sharon, all these different things, the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, all those things. But if you're not careful, we'll be like some of these out here that have, you know, millions of gods, because there's all kinds of names for Jehovah, but the one name that he's recognized by is Jesus. Brother Branham said when he was there, and he said those witch doctors, he was in a witch doctor's camp, and they had brought that table up in the air and it was spinning around the room, and he said, in the name of high heavens, didn't do anything. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that's what many of them use today, didn't do anything. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, and he said the legs nearly broke off the table. It came down so hard. So we know there's power still in the name of Jesus tonight.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 18 verse 9, they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." Brother Branham asked this question. He said, here's men walking down the road, three of them. And they ask him, they greet him, "Abraham." He said, "Where's Sarah, thy wife?" He said, "How did they know what his name was? It had just been changed a few days before." But the same one that had spoke to him in spirit now comes walking down the road to him in a flesh body.
Amen.
Oh, my. He's a God of spirit. Oh, but my, there's been times that he's walked down through time in a flesh body and people could see him visibly, tangibly, a representation. Brother Bram said, "And who is this Melchizedek?" He said, he just spoke and they stepped into those bodies and walked down through the plain of Mamre there. And there sits Abraham at the tent door, and they walked down and he cooked him a calf and he gave him milk to drink. And Brother Bram said he fried him hoe cakes with Crisco. I believe it.
Amen.
You say Crisco wasn't invented back then. Oh, the company may not have been, but I'm sure the ingredients were around.
Amen.
They said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? saying, shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Let me pose that same question to you tonight. Maybe you're in the midst of circumstances in your life and you don't know where to turn or where to go or what to do. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He's not a respecter of persons. Oh, the man wrote the song, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. Amen. He's not a respecter of persons tonight. He's still able. He's still on the throne. Is anything too hard for God? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied it, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Now, Brother Branham said that God would have taken her life there, but he said he couldn't because she was a part of Abraham. Amen. Oh, I wonder how many times he would have taken our life if it hadn't been that we were a part of him. Amen. Our mistakes and our foolishness and our failures, and so many times we've fallen flat on our face, and if it hadn't been for the blood of Jesus Christ acting like a bumper to shield us from the wrath of God. Now, many times you start talking about that and people try to split him up into two persons again, and they've got God up there with his arms folded and Jesus being a little mascot boy down here. But it wasn't that. It was that God was so pure and so holy that anything in his sight that wasn't just completely pure and holy, Daniel Green Field stood there and they said, have you ever told a lie? He said, no, I didn't think I had. But in the presence of that light, he said, I realized I'd said some things that wasn't just right. Daniel Greenfield, have you ever stole anything? I didn't think I had. But in the presence of that light, I realized there were some things that I had done that wasn't just exactly right. Why? Because God is so pure and so holy and so just that anything else in his sight looks as filthy rags. But the blood of Jesus Christ, when he comes and he looks, he's not looking at every little mistake that you make and every little time that you stumble and fall, but he's looking at it through his own blood, and he recognizes, oh yes, they've made mistakes. There's been many times I should have killed them, but I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at the blood. I'm thankful tonight that he's looking beyond my faults, and he sees that blood that cleanses me. Jehovah Jireh, 1957, he says, it was impossible for her to have that baby. It was impossible for her to have that baby. But yet God asked Abraham to believe the impossible. Amen. Oh, many times some of the things that people, you know, look at us from the outside and say, oh, you believe this and that? Oh, yes, absolutely. Impossible. It's not impossible to the bride. Amen. Amen. We're able to believe the impossible. Why? Because there's something down on the inside of us that's from eternity. Amen. And the same God that could speak and say, let there be light, as we looked at it the last few weeks. The same God that could speak and say, star, you come over here and stop. And you come over here and stop. And it'd be a perfect constellation that would have effects on the world. And the moon would stand in a certain place and millions of light years away. Yet it would have effects on our times and seasons. And it would have effects on even the water levels that's on the earth. Because God had placed it there to hold these things in place. And he speaks in earth, and he speaks waters, and he speaks animals, and he speaks life, and he speaks sun and moon and morning and night and all these things that he creates. And he places man in the garden and calls his name Adam and takes from him a woman, and you couldn't even tell, wasn't a scar, wasn't a pain. He didn't have to take painkillers, but God performed the first surgery and took from him a part of himself out of him, and not only the rib but the feminine part, and he makes a woman. And the same God that could place all those things into existence and speak where there was nothing, and universes come into existence. Amen. And vast galaxies. Couldn't the same God speak to Abraham and say, you're going to have a son?
Amen.
Oh, but it's impossible. Oh, yes, so were all these other things to the carnal mind. It seems impossible even today. The atheists, it's impossible for them to believe that a God could speak and these things could come into existence. So they believe that somehow there was a bang or a pop or a snap or whatever they want to call it, and a little germ came into existence on its own randomly. And randomly from that germ, it became to pull itself out of the muck and mire and mold itself into a little bit higher form of life. And then that slowly evolved into a higher form of life, and on and on and on until somehow we got here. And they believe that because they think all the rest is impossible. But yet I don't have faith to believe that. There's nothing in me that even makes me want to believe that. But yet, why is it that they look at this and think that it's impossible? Because there's nothing in them to believe. Amen. But thank God that He placed something down inside of us that can believe the impossible. Amen. Oh, my faith comes on the scene, and it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God could speak, and Brother Branham said, as we looked at it a few weeks ago, He spoke and He believed His own word. And when He believed His own word, these things began to come into existence. Faith spoke, and belief in the spoken word of God began to produce things from the invisible where there was nothing. And yet Abraham says, how could I be an old man and Sarah an old woman, and how could these things be? He said, is anything too hard for God? Right. Brother Branham said it was impossible for her to have that baby. But yet God asked Abraham to believe the impossible. And He asks you, the seed of Abraham, to believe the impossible, because His word is a creative thing. Amen. Oh, His word is a creative thing. When He speaks, things are about to take place. When God speaks, it may seem impossible, it may seem incredible, it may seem unscientific, but when God speaks, something's going to take place because His word is creative. You can look at maybe some of your family members or some of your friends and think, oh my, how could they look at where they've gone, and look at how far in sin they've stooped, and look at all these things, and look at the circumstances, and they'll never be able to make it, and they'll never be this, and they'll never be able to do that. Remember, the word of God is creative.
Amen.
And if He can create in you a desire to serve God, He can create a desire in the hearts of your family members. Maybe they've strayed so far from God that it seems impossible, but God asks you tonight to believe the impossible. Oh my, when the token's applied, His word is creative. Oh my, if you can believe it tonight. His word is a creative thing, Brother Branham said. Genesis chapter 21 verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. I wonder how many times we can look back through our life, and maybe we had this just dark area in our life where all my, it seemed like everything was wrong, sickness and financial problems and all these things, and we just didn't seem like there was any hope in sight. But then we can look back, and we've maybe been holding on to a promise. Maybe you heard a quote and you held on to it, or maybe you read a scripture and you held on to it, or maybe a minister said something and that just anchored down in your heart and you held on to it, and maybe it took many years for it to produce, but you can look back now and recognize there was a time that God visited me and He did unto me as He had spoken. Amen. The word had been spoken maybe on a tape back in 1957 or 1965 or 1947, whatever it would be, but eventually that word was a creative thing, and it began to produce in me something that had been spoken. Maybe I'd held on for 10 years or 20 years or 50 years, but that creative word began to produce a created thing in my life, and He began to produce in me what He had already spoken.
Amen.
Oh my, He had already promised it 25 years before, but now what He had promised, what He had spoke, it begins to come to pass in Sarah's life. And it's not only manifested on the pages of the Bible, but it began to be manifested in her own body, that she began to recognize a change, to where even the king would look down and say, all the women in the kingdom, let them go, but bring me grandma and let her be my wife. 90 years old. Oh my. What was it? Something had changed.
Amen.
The word had been spoken, and it was a creative thing, and it began to produce something in her own body. For she conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded. And Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born unto him. Absolutely impossible. Science said there was no chance. No doubt his medical doctor said, oh, well, you need your head checked, not your body.
Right.
He said, no, sir, God said.
Amen.
God said. Do you have any scientific proof, Abraham? Did you get it on film? Did you get a photograph of Elohim there with you at the tent? Do you have any scientific proof to show us? Did you have it on magnetic tape to be able to play back to us what Elohim said? No, but God said.
That's right.
He didn't have any of the proof that we have today, but yet he still held on to God said.
Amen.
And it began to manifest something in his own body. Amen. Questions and Answers 1964, if the musicians would come tonight. And what was the last sign they had before that promised son that they'd waited on all these years come back? Was God standing in the form of a man and could discern the thoughts that was in Sarah's heart, Sarah being the church, representing the church, he said. Discern the thoughts that's in the church that was even behind him. Is that right?
Amen.
And immediately after that, she changed back to a young woman and him a young man. And Isaac was brought on the scene, the promised son. He said, I believe you're seeing the last thing that'll happen to the church before the rapture. That's exactly, I believe it.
Amen.
What are you looking for, Brother Nathan? I'm looking for a change.
Hallelujah.
I'm looking to look down one day and be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Maybe you'll be walking along down in your back and you'll take that next step and all of a sudden, oh my, where'd that pain go?
Hallelujah.
Maybe you'll be so depressed and so discouraged and Satan's been on your back for months telling you you'll never make it and you keep telling him he's a liar and he keeps telling you anyhow and you wake up one morning and maybe you're discouraged and you think, Lord, oh, how much longer do I have to suffer down here? And you begin to step out of bed and as you do, that depression leaves. Oh, any fear, any doubt, any worry, it leaves. And you think, what was that that just took place? And you look down and those wrinkles are gone. And you sisters, that gray hair that was coming down the side of your face, you think, my, the hair looks dark this morning. Oh, what is it? Our change. We've already received the promise. I'm looking for my change.
Amen.
The promised son, we had to receive something. Something that would change us back to the original. Something that would change our hearts back. Brother Bram said it's the earnest.
Yes.
It's the down payment.
Yes.
Why is it that Sister Patty can be on dialysis one day and be off of it the next? It's the earnest.
Amen.
It's the down payment. God didn't change your whole body yet, but it was just a little change to remind us God's able to change these bodies.
Amen.
Oh, if he can do that, he can change us back. If he can heal somebody with diabetes or tuberculosis or cancer, leukemia, whatever it would be, that's not the full down payment. That's just the earnest. That's not the full purchase price, but it's the earnest. It's a representation of where we're headed back to. That if he can change these old decrepit bodies of time, creatures of time down here, he's got another one waiting for us. And if he can make you serve him in the body that you have, even though Satan tries to drag you down with sin and unbelief and worry and everything that he can, if you can serve him and praise him and worship him in this kind of a body, what do you think we'll do when we get over there? Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder? When we don't have tomorrow's bills on our mind, we don't have medical problems on our mind or political problems or church problems, and all we have on our mind is just worshiping him. And we can sit there for a million years and we don't have to worry about it getting late or the beans burning or the kids getting up for school the next day, and we can just worship him and worship him, and our bodies never get tired. And no matter how much of his presence we sit under, it won't affect us, it won't wear us out, we won't feel like we got ran over by a train the next day, but we'll just sit there in his presence for a million years and worship him. Oh my, if we can praise him like we can in this body, oh, I can't wait till I can get over there and really praise him. Oh my, let's sing this together tonight, key of C. Well, I'll have to sing it tonight, but the Lord gave me some verses to this song that I sing. I believe this would be Abraham's testimony if he could talk to us tonight. Oh, now and then, an old friend of mine I've not seen for some time will stop by and ask me how I'm still in my prime. Oh, they wonder why I'm not feeble and not using that cane I had. I tell them I met Elohim, and old Abram is dead. Oh, and the man you see before you, he isn't quite the same.
no gray hair or wrinkles. Don't have that same old name. Oh, and you're just looking on the outside, but if you could see inside instead, you'd find that Abraham's a changed man, because Abram is dead. Oh, we used to live such a lonely life. We had no hope inside. I had no heir to take my place, because we had no child. But then one day in the tent door, after hearing what Jehovah said, we received a body change, and that old man is dead. You believe you're going to receive yours one day? Oh, and the man you see before you, oh, friends, he isn't quite the same. I don't have those gray hairs or wrinkles. In fact, don't even have that same old name. Oh, but you're just looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you'd see that Abraham's a changed man, because old Abram is dead. Amen. You ready for your change? Oh, I'm longing for it tonight. Let's sing this together. Oh, in pains of death, seize o'er my soul, unto the Lord I cry. Oh, till my Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied. Until my Jesus came, this tonight. Well, old Satan said my strength was gone and that Sarah's womb was dead. Oh, but praise the Lord, the child was born just the way that Elohim said. Oh, no, I would not be denied. You don't have to be. Oh, no, I would not be. Until my Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be denied. Well, like Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with my Lord. Oh, an instant with the courage bold, I stood upon his. Oh, no, I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied. Till my Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be. Oh, I want to hear you sing it tonight. Oh, no, I would not. Prayer.
Aren't you glad you aren't one of those sad Christians that just mopes around all the time? Oh, we've got a reason to praise him tonight. They told Jesus one time when he came into the city, they said, "Can't you make those disciples be quiet? They're causing a disturbance." He said, "Well, I can, but if I do, these rocks will begin to cry out." Oh, I don't want no rock taking my place tonight, but I want to give him praise. He's worthy of our praise. Oh, hallelujah. He's worthy of it tonight. He's a mighty God, an everlasting Father. Let's just talk to him tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence tonight. Lord, we worship you. We give you praise. Lord, we thank you for having preeminence in the service tonight and coming down, Lord, and making yourself known to us, Lord, like you did when you was here with Abraham and you came walking in the flesh body and you made yourself known to him, Father. Lord, that you're still making yourself known to a group of people, that you can still speak, that you can still work, that you can still act through people, Lord, that's filled with your spirit. Lord, as I was looking at it yesterday, Brother Branham said, when that deity comes inside of you, that's the same as deity speaking. That's the same as God walking on 2 feet in you. Oh, Lord, we don't glorify ourselves or our own works, but we glorify the God that indwells us. We glorify the God that leads us and guides us and protects us. We glorify you tonight, Lord, for all the things that you're doing. Even in the midst of things that seem impossible, yet you come on the scene and make the impossible possible, just like you did in the days of Abraham. You said, oh, is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, we don't believe so. Father, we believe that there's nothing that's too hard for you. Lord, we love you tonight. We praise you. We worship you. Lord, for all that you're doing, we thank you. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. Lord, you make a way where there is no way. We praise you. We love you, Father. Be with these requests, Lord, that we read tonight. Be with each one, each need, each family, each sickness, each heartache. Lord, may you minister to these needs tonight. Those that are traveling, Lord, protect them. Keep them safe. Be with us as we go out in Laodicea here, Father. It's Satan's Eden out there. But, Lord, we've got a different atmosphere around us. We may not be able to take ourselves from the world, but Lord, we're living in a different atmosphere than the world is living in. Lord, as I read things in the news of the perversion and thing that's going on around the world because our own laws, Brother Branham called it Sodom and Gomorrah laws, has made it possible to go on. But Father, yet you have a bride that's living in a different atmosphere. Oh, we're living in a dimension, in a realm, in an atmosphere that the world knows nothing about. And even though our bodies are going through the motions down here in Satan's Eden, yet our heart is longing for a home somewhere. Oh, they may think we're crazy, Father, but we're ready for our change. We're ready to meet our bridegroom, Father God. May you come, Lord, and just make yourself known to us more and more, Father, until we take that final step into our theophanies, Lord. May you help us tonight, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. I feel like praising him a little bit more tonight. Can you give the Lord 5 or 10 more minutes? Amen. Let's sing this together. Oh, have you got it? Have you got it? Oh, have you got it like the Bible says? Oh, have you got it? Friend, have you got it? Have you got it like the Bible? A newspaper and tell just by reading it. We're gonna need it. We're gonna need it. Oh, gonna need it like the Bible said. We're gonna need it. We're gonna need it. Gonna need it like the Bible said. But thank God for this. Thank God I've got it. Oh, thank God I've got it. Thank God I've got it. The Bible said, thank God I've got it. Oh, thank God I've got it. Yes, I've got it like the Bible said. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, thank God I've got it. Oh, thank God I've got it. Thank God I've got it like the Bible said. Thank God I've got it. Oh, thank God I've got it. Yes, I've got it like Bible said. Oh yes, I've got it. Oh yes, I've got it. Yes, I've got it like the Bible said. Oh yes, I've got it.
I've got it. Yes, I've got it like the Bible. Oh, how can you be so happy tonight? Oh, 'cause I've got it. Oh, yes, I've got it. Oh, yes, I've got it like the Bible. Oh, friend, I've got it. Oh, yes, I've got it. God bless you, dismiss. Let's sing it as we go. Oh, have you got it? Have you got it? Oh, have you got it like the Bible said? Oh, have you got it? Oh, have you got it?